right now are Something for the Weekend. The reason we played all those songs about humanity in the previous hour are Something for the Weekend is World Humanitarian Day, which is on Sunday. And here to talk about it is somebody we've spoken to nights or on nights a couple of times before, Mike Seawright from Relief Aid, an organisation he helped to set up. He focuses on helping out folk in Syria. And he's back with us now. Kia ora, Mike.
Great to be on the show, Brian.
Nice to have you on again, Mike. Whereabouts are you right now? You're often all over the place. Are you back in New Zealand?
I am back in New Zealand. In fact, I'm sitting in my office at home, actually. So it's relatively comfortable in comparison to many of the places that we work.
World Humanitarian Day. What's it about?
I guess it's a couple of things that it really is focusing on. The first is raising the awareness of civilians around the world who have been caught up in conflicts. Families, I guess, much like our own, who are caught in the middle of fighting that they didn't start or not of their making. So it's kind of recognising that there's lots of civilians around the world that are in some dire trouble because of war. The other bit that it really focuses on is recognising the humanitarian workers who risk and sometimes lose their lives helping others, and we've been in this category, unfortunately. These are sort of doctors and nurses and teachers and aid workers like our own who are threatened, prevented from bringing relief and care to those in need, or, in fact, they're outright killed. And it calls on us, because of those two unacceptable situations, you know, civilians and humanitarian workers getting targeted, it calls on us to actually demand world leaders take some action so that people like our families in other countries, we're lucky enough to live in New Zealand, but that they are not a target and that aid workers like our team are not a target.
Why do you do? Yeah. I wanted to ask, because I don't know if I've asked you this directly before, Mike. Why do you do what you do?
I think this is a question would be better asked of our teams in Syria, for example, and they're living through the daily horror of this conflict. And we've lost staff, our office has been destroyed, the neighbourhoods that our teams live in have been gassed, hidden chemical weapons attacks, chemical bombings. And so I keep asking them, you know, guys, should we carry on doing this? And their answer is always the same. Despite the risks and despite the damage to us and our teams, they want to continue to serve their people. And frankly, I personally have a similar view, and that is I feel that at least as much as I can do and as much as Relief Aid can do, we have an obligation to help those less fortunate than ourselves. And it's difficult, it's risky, it's catastrophic at times, but helping people is, I believe, an obligation if we have the opportunity.
Most of the people you work with in the Relief Aid format or embrace are Syrians. They're working in their home or trying to get back to home.
Yeah, we have a combination of international and national staff, so in this case Syrian staff. And I have to say the heavy lifting, the real hard aid delivery and dangerous aid delivery work is done mostly by our Syrian staff. We have international staff that at times travel in or into the Middle East, for example, to support our activities, but we are lucky enough to be able to come home. Our Syrian staff are not. So I think we should sort of, while we talk about International World Humanitarian Day as something to recognise the aid workers around the world that are doing some incredible work, we really should be saying well done to those aid workers that are from the countries that they are supporting that continue, despite being able to leave at times from their country, continue to serve their people. So, yeah, most of our staff are Syria.
How are things in Syria at the moment? I always ask you this because normally that's why we talk to you.
Well, I mean, Syria's pretty... I guess Syria's going through two phases at the moment. One, the opposition is clearly losing the war. So the Syrian government and its allies have the upper hand and probably will continue to have that indefinitely. What that is doing in practice is it's creating an enclave in the northwest of the country that has millions of IDPs, internally displaced people. These are people living in camps, living in temporary homes, and now, as we come into winter in the Middle East, having to suffer through sub-zero temperatures while they're effectively camping. So, you know, you could say in the south of the country, the war is winding down a little bit. The government's won, essentially. There's still likely to be more fighting, and there continues to be airstrikes in the north of the country, and there's still a horrendous humanitarian situation that requires support from the likes of ourselves and the international community.
I suppose the obvious question is, if the war is drawing to a close, will there be reconciliation between those who've been displaced and the people who displaced them? Or will people not feel safe going back, even if the war is over, because they're afraid that somebody will have a score to settle?
Well, perhaps the best way I can answer that question, Brian, is to share a story of one of our staff. And it takes us back to the World Humanitarian Day of humanitarian workers being targeted. And earlier this year, he wanted to see his mum. I don't know, I'm not sure if you recall, but in Syria, there's been opposition in government areas, and effectively you've not been able to cross from one to the other. And the other sort of dire situation as it relates to that is that anyone who's delivered humanitarian assistance in an opposition-controlled area is now labelled effectively as a terrorist by the Syrian government. Now, he wanted to go visit his mum, hadn't seen her for 4 years, so he decided, look, I know I'm going to be arrested, I know I'm going to be imprisoned, and if I'm lucky, I'll just be conscripted to fight, yeah, which is something he didn't want to do, because this is why he's been in opposition-controlled territory. He didn't want to hurt or kill his fellow countrymen. So he rang his mate, whose father was a general in the Syrian government army, and he said, should I come back? Now, this general said to him directly, don't come back. You won't be imprisoned. You won't be conscripted. You will just be killed. So it's not in Syria and other places in the world, it's not just bombs that are killing aid workers. Governments are systematically targeting them. So, yes, you know, there might be reconciliation at a certain level, but for anyone who's actually delivered aid, if we look at it from our space, they will continue to be targets, and something we very much worry about into the future.
What are you going to be doing on Sunday, Mike?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, Brian, this is a pretty personal day for us. You know, losing staff, especially as we're a relatively new organisation, you know, this is a horrendous thing. And situations like this that remind me why we do what we do, but it also brings home the fact that the loss of our staff is a truly horrendous situation to bear. And so I'll be getting up and I'll be thinking about the teams in general, I'll be thinking about the two of our staff that lost their lives, and I'll be proud of those who have stayed to continue to deliver aid, but frankly sad about the loss that we've had to suffer and our staff have had to suffer to do that.
When are you heading back to Syria next?
Our next aid distributions are starting in early October, so we're putting that together now. Kind of a combination of talking to our partner Shelterbox in the UK, they provide the materials, and also frankly raising the money that we don't yet have to pay for our end of the deal, to pay for the distributions. So yeah, and I'll be in the Middle East late September, early October, and we'll be doing our next distribution of aid to around 10,000 people.
Mike, thank you very much for joining us again.
Thanks for having us, Brian. Have a great evening.
You too. It's a pleasure, Mike. Mike Seawright from Relief Aid, New Zealand-based organisation, an organisation that he helped to set up, focuses on aid in Syria. We were talking about this Sunday. It's something for the weekend, because Sunday is World Humanitarian Day.